Yeah. Y'all listening to the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show, and I'm your host, Victory, BX Supreme Promoter, basically. Nah, I'm Shane, basically. Yo, right now I'm on the line with a rap artist, recording rap artist, and a battle rap artist named DNT Uncontained, representing Minnesota. Yep, basically Minnesota, right?
Yeah, Minneapolis. Yep, basically.
Yo, anybody that liked this episode of the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show or you like this interview, yo, I'll be very grateful if anyone could make a donation. The donation app, no, I'm sorry. My link is Cash App. Grind Ethics Cash App. I'm sorry. Grind Ethics Cash App. That's Grind Ethics Cash App. Also, you can follow me on Instagram, Grind Ethics Mixtape Show at Instagram. Nah, I'm Shane. Basically, yo, I'm doing big things right now. Oh, yeah. For those who be on YouTube, check out my two improved new episodes of the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show. And no, I'm not videotaping the show from my bedroom. I'm not at no park somewhere in the Bronx talking on the bench and shit like that. No, it's new and improved, 4K and all that good stuff. You're going to like it, okay? Basically. And the same old, talking about business and entertainment. And I'm still on my witty clown shit, you know what I mean? And don't give a fuck shit, okay? That's the only thing that didn't change, is my I don't give a fuck attitude. And my informative nerd self. You know what I mean? But anyway, I'm here with my brother, rap artist, DNT Uncontained. What's going on, brother?
Man, what's happening, bro? We've been talking about this for a while, G.
For a while. Yo, we met each other on Facebook, like, I think it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shoot, this is my brother from Minnesota right here.
Yeah, it's been a while, bro. I actually thought you was gonna do a video interview. I put my glasses on, trying to look all smart and shit. I put my glasses on, I just took them off like that.
Listen, man, you from the hood, man. Like, you ever seen the show? You ever seen the documentary, The Show, with Russell Simmons?
I think probably so.
Well, in the show, he said, "Listen, man, I'm ghetto. I'm always gonna be ghetto. I'm too old not to be ghetto." I didn't even understood that until now, because that was years ago when I was a teenager when I seen that movie.
Right. Don't get it twisted, though. Don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, I'm from Minnesota, basically. No, I'm from Northside, Minneapolis, Minnesota, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. That's the GD side, right? That's the GD side, basically, right?
It's everybody's side. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I don't like talking about my past, but since you brought it up, it'll be, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's GD's over here, Vice Lord, it's Chris Bloods. You know, not Bloods, but it's Chris over here, too.
Okay.
I'm too old. I'm up in age. I ain't gonna say I'm too old, because, you know, all, hey, it's here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't going nowhere. You know, I'm gonna throw the forks up wherever I go. You know what I'm saying? 43 and still repping. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this since the 90s, and it ain't gonna stop. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't out here, like, you know, banging or nothing like that. I got a family. I got a job. You know what I'm saying? I got kids that, you know, they look up to me. I got, you know, brothers and sisters, nephews, nieces that look up to me. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm branded for life. That ain't going nowhere. But at the same time, don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, living in Minnesota, man, you got to have a suburban state of mind.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, this ain't what you think it is. And don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can go down, but this is more. This state is more of a family. This state is a more family state.
And
you see, I got the kids in the background.
Yeah, exactly. What's up, kids?
You know, we're going to keep this real.
You know what? Earlier, I was like, can you go to a quiet place? But I was like, you know what? Let the kids be our audience.
Bro,
fuck it.
Bro, it's not gonna stop, bro. They're gonna be quiet, and then they're gonna start back up again, and it is what it is.
Hey, you gotta love the kids, man. They're greater than us. The kids are. I was always taught that the babies are greater than us.
Right. No, facts. You know, I wouldn't tell their ass go outside, but we got snow on the ground, and there's water out there, so it's melting. So it's like 40 degrees here right now. You know, so, you know, it is what it is, bro.
Yeah, no doubt. So tell us how you got started in your rap career.
Man, you know, I was managing some of the local artists here. You know what I'm saying? And you know, we was doing shows and things like that, you know, in the local scene. And then we just, you know, they basically just reached out to me and was like, you know what I'm saying, you know, won't you just be our manager, and then we do, you know, you just help book shows. And I was like, yeah, cool, why not? And so then we went from there, and then, you know, we did like a small state tour, our state, but we also hit like North Dakota, Fargo, and stuff like that, and then, you know, a couple of cities in the state, and then, you know, it is what it is. But then after the disbursement of the whole crew, because it was like about four crews of us, I just started doing my own thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I just started doing my own thing, bro. You know, and you know, I was just doing it for fun, you know. And then I just basically, you know, I got tired. Basically, man, what it came down to, man, I got tired of looking after people.
Okay.
And trying to make sure everybody was at one spot. You know, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. You know what I'm saying? We hit a couple of venues where, you know, a little bit of revenue was coming in, and people wanted to get paid, and they wasn't putting in on a promo. They didn't want to do the job. You know what I'm saying? So I just said, you know what? I just do me. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I've been doing. I've just basically been doing me.
It's funny how... And when was this? It was the early
2000s? Yeah, it was like early 2000s, you know?
It's funny how you said, because it's not a I'm in New York. It's not a regular thing for underground artists, rappers or singers, to get paid doing shows. That's not a regular thing here in New York, because, you know, we spoiled, because we got the record labels, so cats are like, oh, Def Jam is right there, Atlantic Records is right there, Bad Boy Records is right there. But I've been hearing that in different cities, different states, certain cats get paid in doing club shows. I'm like, okay.
What it is, if you rent out the venue as an artist, and what we was doing as artists, we were renting the venues out.
Okay.
We'll go buy tickets, and we'll give the artist tickets to sell. So either they pay in and take the tickets, or, you know what I'm saying, we give them tickets, and then they come back, and then they break bread. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Okay, that's a regular thing we do in New York. That's a regular thing.
Artists get paid for shows, but either they gonna buy in, or they gonna break bread. You know what I'm saying? It's one or the other, you know.
It's crazy. Okay, yeah, because I hear you just saying, because after a while, management, it kind of feels like babysitting. After a while,
it is babysitting, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give you an example. I did a show one time, and I had like 12 artists on this showcase. Okay, 12 artists on this showcase, and 12 artists. Bro, if as an artist, you should be able to bring in at least on a showcase 5 to 10 people. Whether it's family members, whether it's friends, whatever. Your girl got her girlfriends coming. You know what I'm saying? You should be able to at least bring 5 people in, you know? And I had an incident where I had 12 artists plus a couple groups total. It was total like 12 that was on this card. And I got shut down because one of the groups didn't get to perform. You know what I'm saying? Just because they forgot their music, it's not my fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were ready. You should have been ready, and that's it. And they got mad, and they didn't get to perform. So what they did was they took it out on the show. You know what I'm saying? They started fighting and everything like that, and that's a problem. Like, everybody got to be in. Everybody got to be in on it. Like I said, you either got to buy in or sell tickets, you know what I'm saying? And if you sell tickets or buy in, bro, you got to be able to produce your product. If you can't produce your product and you're not on time with your product, then whose fault is that?
It's your fault.
Right.
See, that's what I hate about all. Oh man, I'm getting mad having this conversation. I'm not mad at you, but I'm just saying I hate it. It's like 90% of artists since the 1900s. It's been like, yo, bro, it's been like maybe 100 years that artists are still dumb. From genre to genre, era to era, whether you black, white people, gay people, purple people, orange people. Gay people ain't no particular race, but I'm saying, like...
Right, bro. Just, you know, the crazy thing about it is, you know, artists, they expect the people that's promoting the show to do all the work when they got to realize they need to do the work as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you come in just to perform and you're not bringing anybody to the show, like, and that's where I had to separate myself from a lot of that, because from the fact is, for one, you know, I'm providing a venue, I'm providing tickets, I'm paying for a lot of shit, and I'm covering a lot of shit, security, the whole nine, and here it is, you only coming to perform, but then you want something at the end. No, man.
Nah, it don't go like that. It don't go like that. You got to pay to play, partner. And they don't understand that shit to the death of me. Like, damn, like, and we in a social media era. So it's like the internet in general. So it's like all this information out here on marketing, on how to market your music. You got like a million YouTube videos that teach you how to market your music and all that, teach you about licensing and all that shit. And you're still dumb. And you know what it is? They shoot. It's like nowadays. Okay, I could see in the 1950s during the Muddy Waters era, the blues era. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. You know what I mean? Or even the 60s or whatever. But we live in the information age, and we have the internet. We have access to mad information. Nowadays, there's no excuse for being dumb. There's no excuse for not knowing nowadays. It's like, yo, bro, it's your fault. Instead of you going to the store and buying a pair of bitch ass Jordans, you should have spent money on the show. You should have spent money on buying tickets to sell or whatever. You should have put money into the venue. Fuck buying whatever dumb shit you want to buy, and you're not making no profit off it. You're not even hustling. I mean, if you hustling backwards, at least you hustling, but you're not hustling at all. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. It's crazy, man. But, yeah, going back to you, man, when did you start writing raps? Because I know I heard your songs are sick. Your raps are sick.
I mean, bro, I've been writing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been writing. Like I said, you know, after going through the shit that I went through with those guys, I have been writing all the time. And then I just really started really critiquing my craft.
Okay.
You know, some of my favorite artists are from New York. Like, my all-time favorite artist is LL Cool J.
Okay.
You know? And a lot of people, I just feel like a lot of people sleep on LL. But LL is called the GOAT for a reason, bro. Like, he touched on so many genres, you know what I'm saying, of the music. You know, he do love music. He do, you know, regular hip hop. He do grimy hip hop. You know what I'm saying? He battles. He do battle hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, man, like, I'm talking about LL shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? And then there's Jay. You know what I'm saying? Like, who don't love Jay? I like the old Jay.
I like the older Jay. I like the new Jay too, but yo, bro, is nothing better to me out of all the albums he came out with. There's nothing better than the first, Reasonable Doubt.
I like that.
That shit is... there's no album that he ever had that was better than Reasonable Doubt. I haven't heard his last two albums, but I know it's not better than Reasonable Doubt.
the black album was my favorite.
Okay.
The Black album was my favorite. You know? Yeah, that was my favorite album.
Okay.
That was my favorite album, dude. Jay. I mean, but you know, and also, I, you know, before I even got into, you know, East Coast hip hop, you know, one of my first, like, I always loved LL, dude, a little shit. My favorite song, like, I even did a rendition of I'm Bad. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
With Big T, from Chicago. He's another battle rapper. URL battle rapper. But I did a rendition of that, of I'm Bad.
Okay.
Then also, like, you know, I grew up off Spice One.
Oh, I remember Spice One from the West Coast.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, the Bay Area. You know, my uncle and them used to listen to Too Short all the time.
Okay.
So, then there's E-40 and the Click. You know, I like the old E-40. I don't like the new E-40. But you know, it's a lot of rap that, you know, that I done mixed into my style. You know, some West Coast, some East Coast. Like I thought some of the West Coast artists were from the Midwest, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't gonna even try.
But the Midwest always been doing their thing, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Right. No. It's just I always thought that some of the West Coast artists were from the Midwest. I never knew they was from the West Coast. You know, until I actually got into it, into really figuring out, you know, who they were, you know.
Okay, now tell us what MCs or rap artists from the Midwest inspired you. They could be famous artists from the Midwest, underground artists in the Midwest. It don't matter.
What you said? What artists in the Midwest inspired me?
Yeah, whether they're underground or famous.
What Midwest artist inspires me? Right now?
No, right now, or back in the, well, actually back in the day when you was doing your thing, what Midwest artist inspired you? Was it Bone Thugs, Crucial Conflict, Twista? It could be right now. It could be back in the day too.
Right now, bro. Right now, I'm on my Nelly shit right now.
Nelly? Okay.
I'm on my Nelly shit right now because Nelly got that song number one.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of motherfuckers sleep on that song. But I like what he did to that song when he brought the guitarist in. And right now, I'm trying to write a song, it's called Martial Law. And I'm actually looking for a guitarist right now to play in that song and play on the video.
Okay.
So right now, I'm on my Nelly shit right now.
That's cool. So tell us how you started with, how you started battle rapping.
Okay, so when I started battle rapping, bro, my favorite battle rappers at the time were Big T from Chicago, B-Magic from
Saint. Okay, he's one Midwest nigga.
Huh?
He's one Midwest nigga, one Midwest MC.
Right. But I'm saying, as far as battle rap-wise, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Battle rap, not music-wise.
Okay.
Battle rap-wise, Big T from Chicago, B-Magic. St. Louis, Gracie, the OJC. I like the OJC. He's from Detroit. GE, Mr. Great Lakes. He's from Milwaukee. Yeah, that's all about. Those are my favorites. You know what I'm saying? But at the time, what made me get into it was this girl. She needed an extra. She needed an extra opponent for somebody that ducked out of battle. She was like, you know, would you be interested? And I was like, hell yeah, why not? You know, so I did it, and I liked it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't take it serious because I was just having some fun with it. But over the time I've been doing it, I've been really taking it. I ain't been really taking it serious, but I've been taking it serious because, you know, I learned the game that when other artists see you doing something, they call you trash. So you can take it in. You can take it as motivation, or you can take it as being downplayed, and I take it as both. But in fact, I'm a way better writer and a way better artist than those guys.
Yeah, I was hearing. That's what made you. That's what made me want to interview you, because I heard a couple of lines in your. I've seen a couple of clips on Instagram of your battle raps. You was battling one dude, and he was battling the other dude. I forgot his name, but the other one I saw earlier today. You said some shit to some nigga. You was like, I forgot what you said. You was like, you see this tattoo? I'm from. Matter of fact, you say it. That shit was hot. It's better when you say it.
Right. I said, you see this tattoo? It say born and raised. I'm from Illinois too. You know?
No, you said something after that. You was like, born and raised. You see this tattoo? Born and raised. I'm from Illinois too. Y'all niggas be shooting each other for nothing. But we, and some shit. You was like, Dad, you said some shit that made me think. You was like, you see this tattoo? Born and raised. I'm from Illinois too. But y'all be shooting.
You stupid nigga. Y'all be shooting. I'm on the phone. Hold on one second. Yeah, but I told him I'm from Illinois too. Stupid nigga, y'all be shooting for nothing. Here we roll the dice. That means we shoot for something. Pick up, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, this shit was wet.
You was like, we shoot for something, but yeah. it sounded kind of simple when you said that shit. But I mean, me being a hustler, I understood what you were saying, because, I mean, I took it to another level in my mind, because you was like, y'all niggas is just shooting each other for nothing. Like, here, we shoot the dice and we make money. We shoot for a reason. We shooting in another way. We shooting to get money. Y'all niggas is shooting each other for nothing. Like, I was like, okay, I understand that.
Right.
You took it on a paid in full level, like a Rich Porter level. I was feeling that. I was feeling that line right there.
a lot of motherfuckers be calling me trash, bro, when it comes to this battle rap shit. But a lot of motherfuckers don't even be listening to the shit I be saying.
That's yeah, because you come from a different era in the way.
Right.
And you more lyrical, a little bit more abstract than a lot of niggas. I mean, I can see why.
Right.
But you definitely far from whack.
Yeah, I'm far from whack, bro.
Yeah, that was an ill line right there. Now, tell me or tell us who or what battle rapper was your toughest opponent?
My toughest opponent?
Yeah.
This far, I'm gonna give it to BA.
Okay.
Shout out to BA.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was one of the creators of the Minnesota battle rap scene. And, you know, I wasn't really supposed to battle him. I was supposed to battle somebody else. And then, messed around and he ended up battling. And then, we put on a show, you know, and, that battle was crazy, bro.
Okay.
That battle was super crazy, because it was really intense, and it wasn't supposed to get that intense. Yeah.
What made it intense? Of course, what you have seen, but tell us in details.
Well, okay, so, had been off the scene for a long time. And he had been trying to, they had been trying to get him, you know, get him somebody to battle, but I guess nobody wanted to battle. So I was like, hey, I'll battle anybody, whatever. So I was supposed to battle somebody else, but he ended up jumping in the mix, so I ended up battling him. And, you know, both of us had a lot to prove. Both of us had a lot to prove.
Okay.
Both of us, the intent to buy was, both of us had a lot to prove. Him being gone off the battle scene for a long time and me taking him on is my first big guy.
Okay.
You know, and that's as far as, you know, you know what I'm saying? But it did, yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever thought about, you know, performing in these top battle leagues like URL, King of the Dot,
yeah,
RBE?
I reached out to those guys.
Okay.
You gotta wait your turn, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta wait your turn.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, I know for a fact that I got talent. I got a lot of talent. You know what I'm saying? Rank wise, I got a lot of talent. It's just when it's time for me to go, it's just time for me to go.
Exactly. What you think is the next level of battle rap? Because it's, I mean, I ain't gonna front. I've been away from battle rap. I haven't been watching or reporting any battle raps for like 5 years. Because I've been kind of getting bored. Like, what is the next level of battle rap? You know, like, what is the, you know?
What's the next level?
Yeah, that's why I haven't been watching it for 5 years. You know, because I'm like, okay, what is the next level? Like, I mean, you know what? I want to see. I want to see cats get more money. I never seen too many battle rappers really sell their own merchandise. You know, I want to see it on a level where battle rap is contained, self-contained on some Nino Brown shit, and not really depend on outside corporate world or the culture vultures.
Right.
You know, I want to see it elevate, but in our terms, not the corporate right. terms.
I mean, I don't know, bro. You know, everybody got to be motivated.
Yeah, everybody got to be motivated. Yeah. Yeah, because it's not that, because the league's still not, I mean, the leagues are not really dishing out money like that. Only, I mean, if you're a Charlie Clips, a Daylight, somebody like that, you know, a John, a Dawn, I'm just saying random names, you know? Mm-hmm. You're not getting $5,000 a show, or $6,000 or $10,000 a show.
Right.
You know, some cats are still getting the same money for 10 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I just want to see elevate. I mean, I was kind of bored with battle rap, to tell you the truth.
Right. I mean, here's the thing is.
Huh?
From what I'm seeing, yeah, a lot of cats that are coming out right now, and I'm gonna keep it 100. Like, a lot of cats that are coming out right now, bro, they don't even have the finances to sue. You know, supply their everyday life.
Yeah, you know? I know. I've been hearing.
Man, a lot of cats don't even have jobs.
Yeah, no, they don't. Some of them do have jobs. Some of them have a business. Well, rarely. Not too many of them have their own business. I mean, battle rap is a business. You got to look at it as a business.
Yeah, it is. But I'm saying, like, everyday stuff.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Money for...
They get to a certain stage in your life where... They get to a certain stage in your life where when you say, you know what? Either you're going to do this for a hobby, or you're gonna take it serious.
Yeah.
Same time, you still got your everyday life, you know, kids, school, so, like, I don't know, I don't really don't understand why people don't have jobs. You know, because even if you get to the URL platform, bro, like, that little couple thousand dollars don't last that long.
Nah, it's just, I mean, see, this is what I would tell a battle rapper, right? Since everybody, well, not everybody, but since almost everybody is on this financial literacy shit, take that little battle rap money that you know, 500 a show, 1,000 a show, 2,000 a show, 5,000 a show, whatever, and put it in stocks, an index fund, or put it in real estate. Buy, you could put the type of money they make, they could put a down payment on a house and move people in and make money off attendance every month if they have that type of mind state, you know.
But you gotta look at it also. You gotta look at it also, bro. Like nowadays, man, people just kind of keep up with Jones.
Yeah.
I bought my first duplex at 28.
Your first duplex?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you own real estate. Oh, okay. Oh, and you in Minnesota, compared to New York, the real estate is kind of cheap, basically. I might fuck around and buy a house in Minnesota.
I mean, you can.
Okay. Yo, we gotta talk, man. I mean, what is the estimation of a, like, in North Minneapolis? What's the standard price of a crib? What, like, right, two now? Bedrooms? Like two bedrooms? No. I would say a multi-unit house, like a three-unit house.
There ain't no three-unit houses over
there. Oh, there ain't? No multi-unit houses?
No.
Wow. Okay, a single house. A single-family house.
Yeah, a few questions in there. They're just houses.
Okay.
Going anywhere from like $150,000 to like $200,000.
Okay. So what?
That's high because it used to be lower than that.
Okay.
Like the house I'm living in right now, we bought the house for $60,000.
You said $60,000?
$60,000. We've been in the house for 7 years.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But now the market is going way up. Our house is valued at more than $60,000.
Oh, so if you sell the house, you can't. Damn, you making a bang for your buck. You see, this is what rappers or recording artists in general need to talk about in interviews and start doing on a regular. Every artist that want to make money as an artist should put their money, even if they're not making that much money off of their music, put that little money into something like an index fund. You know what I'm saying? Or something, or real estate, or something. Own a business, or another business, because you should see your music as a business anyway. But something, you know, like, why are you trying to make millions of dollars off of rap? I don't even think Jay-Z made his first millions off of rap. Maybe it was probably something else.
You said what?
I don't even think Jay-Z made his first millions off of rap.
Nah, bro.
Because he had Rockaware, you know.
Yeah, I think he was doing something else before all that.
Yeah, so... You know, but anyway, like I said, man, I think artists is always gonna be like this, man. It's always gonna, the majority of artists, I think, is always gonna be just dumb, deaf, and blind, and just, you know, look at the stars and be like, oh, be on some Cinderella shit, you know? That's why I see cats like you winning, because you're business minded. You're real business minded.
Right.
Even the first time I met you, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I try to keep it to you know, an index. You know?
You say index fund?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh.
I'm speaking in general. I try to keep it to, you know, where there's opportunity for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
But as an artist have to see the opportunity. You know? Because there was a time when I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop promoting artists. I mean, I was thinking about that, like, but there's a minority artist like yourself that I could really work with. You know, a lot of them, most of them are just, whatever. They don't see the vision.
What it is everybody, man, is waiting on, everybody waiting on that quick buck.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing I was telling my second oldest son.
The quick buck or the quick fame?
That too, both. They go together. But I was telling my second oldest son this, like, my nigga, you graduated out of high school. You did more than me. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, what do you do next? And he, you know, he got all this shit, all these ideas. But all these ideas ain't gonna work if you don't stick to one. You gotta make that one work.
Mm-hmm.
If it works for you, make it work. And then if it don't work, then you go on to the next.
Exactly.
But you can't put all your baskets. You can't put all your eggs in the basket. And expecting them all to cook at the same time in the same skillet. But it's not gonna work.
Yeah, you're right.
And my son, man, he wanna do all this shit. But then he expects the shit to come quick.
It's not gonna work. You see, at that age, you say he's after high school. At that age, even myself, when I first made my first beat when I was in high school, I was already trying to sell that first beat. I was already trying to get a record deal. I was 18 years old, trying to get a production deal on my first beat, and even a couple of years later. I was making demo tapes for my peoples, and I was trying to get a production deal. I'm like, I didn't put in no sweat, really. I didn't put no blood and sweat tears yet. You know what I'm saying? So at that time, even though I was nice, I didn't deserve shit.
Right, bro, because you got so many motherfuckers that came way before you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really a name game. You know, yeah. It's about not what you know, it's about who you know. You know?
Of course. You're right.
But he ain't 18, bro. My son's 22.
Your son is 22. I mean, still, that's still younger. That's still, at 22, I was still on some speedballing shit. I was still a hothead. I still wanted things fast at the age of 22. When I was in my, I would say close to 30s or in my early 30s, I was like, you know what? I need to just take my time and slow the fuck down.
Right.
Things don't happen. The pyramids were not built in a day. Fuck Rome. The pyramids were not built in a day. Or the pyramids were not built overnight. You know what I mean? Basically, you know what I mean? I hear that. So let me ask you this last question. If you had a chance to work with any of your favorite artists, or tell us, what artists would you like to work with, whether they're underground or famous? What artists would you like to work with or collab with, whether they're underground or famous?
Would I like to work with?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people that I like to work with.
Name a few. And they don't have to be famous either.
Um rather do a song. I would rather do a song than an actual just work with. You know, I wanted to do a song with Jay.
Okay.
You know, I don't know, really, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying that because you just asked me that question, but when it comes to me doing songs with people, like, I'm very particular with that.
Okay.
Like, the collabs I got now, I told those collabs to us. You know what I'm saying? I sold those collabs just because.
Okay.
Even with the battle rap, like, I had a big match coming up in May.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know I chose that battle.
Okay.
And I chose it. Excuse me. I chose that battle because that brother can rap.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what he's capable of.
Okay.
So I know what he's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So I like a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to do a song with somebody, this got to be because I really like them as an artist, or it's a challenge. You know what I'm saying? And this artist that I'm finna battle in May is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a challenge to my style of writing, my lyricism, of the way I write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when I say it's lyrical content, raw rap, no filter.
Okay.
I apply it also in my songs. Well, my songs always had it. But when I write my songs, I write it in reality. Just like you said yourself, like, I can relate to that. You know? And that's a generational thing. But it's got to be, you know, for me to do a song with somebody, work with somebody, I have to want to be a part of that.
Of course, of course.
Huh?
I said, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Well, my brother, thank you for being on the Grind Ethics Mixtape Show. Know what I mean? Anybody that liked this episode, like I said, you know, be very grateful if anyone could make a donation. It don't have to be nothing big. The link is Grind Ethics Cash App. Grind Ethics Cash App. Also follow me on Instagram. Yo, tell people where they could reach you at, as far as your social media sites.
Yeah, my Twitter is DNT_UNCONTAINED, DNT_Uncontained. My Instagram, same thing, DNT_Uncontained. My Facebook is Strict Cortez, last name, first last on Facebook. Man, you know, I got music out right now. I just dropped a new joint with Sticky Fingers called The Hand.
Oh, sticky fingers. Okay. Oh, how was it like? Yo, I gotta ask that question. You didn't even tell me. How was it like working with sticky fingers from Onyx, man?
You know, when I did this song, bro, it was either gonna be Sticky Fingers or Mystical.
Okay.
And I couldn't get a hold of Mystical, so I went to the next best thing, and you know, Sticky reached back, man. I was like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? And it was dope, bro. It was dope. I mean, I wasn't necessarily in the studio with him. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he sent me his phone number and told me to call him, bro. Like, that's the real shit.
Mm.
You know, like, you know, never reach back. Like, hey, take on my phone number, call me.
So you actually put up the dough, or you actually paid a verse, or?
Yeah, I paid. I mean, you know, like, the verse ain't free, bro. But it was the fact that the matter of fact, he took the time out, bro, to put his actual phone number in my Instagram inbox and told me to call him.
He could have been his manager's number, because I'm sure he has a manager and a PR person.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, exactly. That's cool. That's cool, yo. You see, that's why. You see, how many artists you know will actually do that? Will actually, you know what I'm saying, pay a verse? You know what I mean? It's like it's about business. I mean, it's okay if you have the mind state not to pay for a verse, but be business minded in general, man. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, man, we about to bounce, man. Thank you, my brother, for being on the Grind Things Mixtape Show once again, man. You want to make any shout-outs before we go?
Man, shout-out to Sticky Fingers, man.
Shout-out to Sticky Fingers, man.
Shout-out to Cass. I just did a song with Cass, too.
Razz Cass?
Yeah, Cassidy, yeah,
dude. Razz Cass from L.A.?
No, Cassidy.
Oh, Cassidy from Philly. Okay, okay.
Yeah. Shout-out to both of them. Shout out to my crew Invasion, my battle rap crew Invasion. Ghost, Grizzly, Draco, King Tut, King Frost, J Lou, he on the come up, you know, myself. Shout out to Dignity, because we got that battle at the end of the month. Me versus DNT, Unkin Tang versus EA Pounds. You know, in Chicago, March 28th. Shout out to Manslaughter. What's up, Smurf? For holding me down. Man, everybody from Minnesota, man. You know what's up? Northside, Murder App. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Extenso, I'll let GE, free GE. He'll be out soon. That's my dog. Shout out Big T. And everybody that fuck with me, man, you know, shit, you know, shout out to you, my nigga.
No doubt, no doubt. No doubt, man.
Up to the Grind Things Mixtape Show.
Definitely, definitely. We got a collab, brother. Thank you once again for being on the show, man.
Man, most definitely.
All right, peace, man. One. Yeah, that was my brother. Uncontained, you know what I'm saying, representing Minnesota. Yo, yeah, man, holla at me. Yo, check out, I forgot to tell you again. Hit me up on YouTube. Check out the new improved episodes of Grind Ethics Mixtape Show, all right? And I'm out, y'all. And remember, peoples, tell a friend to tell a friend, that's all about the motherfucking grind, basically.